mode of expression, but they say the same thing. Those who have seen me have seen my father. So it is. I was just talking about, you see, what is love. Everybody says, I love God, I love God, man. You see, I love my master, I love this and that. But what is love? Love is the fruit of a tree, you see. It is the ultimate goal, which develops, comes up within us. Whatever we start, there are other steps, will lead to love. If we love with all our, you see, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Heart is one or two. Heart is only one. You can only give it to somebody. If you give away your heart to somebody, then what remains to be given? You see? Then you'll think that way what he thinks. Not your own scheming or anything, nor the least, you see. This is the ultimate goal. Lord Krishna said, O my disciple, heart is only one that Lord Krishna has taken away. See? Who else will love God, you see? That has already been given to the God in man. Then nothing remains to give to God now separately, you see. So first our heart should be, what you say, not broken into pieces. That should be summed up into one. When it is only, I mean complete, not broken into pieces, only then you can give. Our master once, you see, he was giving a talk, he said, all right, if any of you can give your heart, you just can go to heaven. One man stood up, well, I give my heart. Then he said, is heart in your control? Have you controlled your heart? Captain, no, then how can you give it? You can give only something which is in your control, in your possession. No, heart is led away by outgoing faculties. Here, there, everywhere. Well, that is, you see, concentrated. How can you give it? We have no control over our heart. Our heart is dragged away in so many ways. So I was just talking about love, you see, that is the ultimate fruit of a fruit tree. There are steps leading to that. So first step is, we wish, you see. We like to have something. It's only liking, not only wish. Heart is given only when you withdraw it from all outside things. And it is under your control, you see. So there are steps leading to that. What we have got now, it is only we wish, we like, let it be done like that, you see. That is a better thing. But it is not yet done. That's mine. So there are steps leading to that. The first step is, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are the commandments? You know? Everybody knows? Love thy God with all thy heart. The word heart is there. With all thy heart, not pieces. Any heart which is cut into pieces, here, there, and everywhere. So let it be complete first, you see? Only then you can hear. We love God only out of some liking or wishing, wishful thoughts, you might say. So first thing is also keep my commandments. For instance, if you go, even the policeman in charge or there, stop, if the president stops, that's order. If anyone whom you love, always stop there. Don't take further step. But do we keep his commandment? No. Then where is the love? We hunger after love. We have wishful thoughts to have love, but we have not got love yet. That not even we have not laid the first stone of the building too. Foundation starts when you keep commandments. Then he says, all right, devote regular time to your meditations. Weed out all imperfection within you from day to day. We say we have got no time to keep diary. What to speak of love, you see? We have not even started it yet. Further, if you wish to have thought with somebody, love with somebody, then it is told, you see, of one Majnu. He was a great lover of one Lala, you see. She was a princess. Once he was just, you see, what, hugging and just that the feet of a dog, he was just hugging and just with the mouth he was just giving love to the dog on his face and everything. People have, what are you doing? Are you going mad? Said, no, this dog, I have seen him sometime going in the street of my Lala, whom I love, you see. If he can love even dogs, going, just walking someday in the street in which his beloved Lala was living, if he had love for somebody, for Master, say, for God, anybody who is going there, will naturally, those who come to the Master, isn't it? We'll never find faults, criticizing. We'll just become humble, you see? And we love any, even the dogs who go there, just chat their feet too. This is a symbol that you are growing love for your beloved, you see? For your Master. Do we do? This is one of the symbols, I would say. Symptoms are symbols. To show that you are having some love for somebody. These are the foundation stones, not love as yet, mind that. Love is giving away of your heart. Heart is one. When that is given away to somebody, then what else remains? Even, I tell you, Maulana Rum says, when you accepted your Master once for all, even the Master, you see, even the Prophet and God both are there in him, you see. They are not without him, they are one with that. So our respect goes to God. Once when we give where that God is manifested, it is just giving to God or anybody, you see. You understand, as I told you in the very beginning, love is the fruit of a tree. First we start with wishful thoughts, liking, to have something. By comparative, say, by discrimination, you see, or by reading scriptures, whom should we love? Soul should love God, because the conscious entity, it must go to all consciousness that is natural. It has been tied to the outward world, only things. Result is, we come and go again where we are attached. So if you want to have love for God, that everybody in his, I think, to his own, from his own level of thinking, he is convinced that he is loving God. God we have not seen. God has manifested somewhere at the human pole. If you say we love him, then how the love foundation stone will start from where? By keeping his commandments. First. Second, when you love somebody, even anybody who goes there and lives there, you love him too. We criticize, we sometimes fight, even with those who are going there within themselves, then where's the love for the Master or for God? These are the stepping stones. But there is further thing, something. This is the first thing. When you grow love for God or God-man, it's one and the same thing. That you will be having, what you say, at the heart of heart, you will be hankering to have Him. You see? You cannot forget you would like to have somebody, the company of somebody, who talks about Him. You see? His first-hand experiences, or who has been with Him. That's what that comes now. Further, you would like to be just near Him, as near as possible. Then even you are not there when somebody speaks of Him, your heart becomes full and overflows through your eyes. You see? These are symptoms that you are having love now. Now the fruit, these are the blossoms coming up, blossom coming up, which will turn into fruit. If the rain is expected, first you will have clouds. If there are no clouds, where is the rain? Where there is no blossoms, where is the fruit? You follow me? So as I told you, love is the fruit. Everybody says, I love, I love, I love, I love. Love can be only have one idea, not two, three, four. That cannot be, heart can be split up into parts and give one here, one there, one there. No. So as I told you, these are the steps. One, keep the commandments. Second, weeding out all imperfections. Third, devoting time to the spiritual practices. Then have the company of somebody who just reminds you of your ideal. Avoid all others. Company of all others in whose society you are attached to the world or forget Him. You see? If you don't get such like society, better live all alone, all alone. Live with this master speaking through books, through scriptures. It's better there. Then further, what the further symbol that you're having love now near, your heart, you'll feel very separation. You see? You'll be hankering to see Him. You always come like even you hear of Him, your whole hairs on your body will stand. You see? Sensation like you feel. And further, even when you hear of Him, even then your heart becomes full and tears roll down from your cheeks. These are the symptoms showing that the fruit is nearing. These are blossoms. Ultimately, when fruit comes, you are for the master, master is for you. These are steps, you see. We have to now judge what we do. We cannot hear anything, you see, which is not according to scriptures, according to what God will say. Even against any propaganda which may be carried out, you see. You follow now my point? We say love, we love God, we love our Master, this is all right. But where are the outer symptoms? How it starts? Love is only giving of your heart once for all. That heart cannot be retaken and given to somebody else. And that also we can give if the heart becomes under our control. We can't give. It is only a visual thought we are having, you see. We should have. So this is something very practical if you have to wade through, I would say. That doesn't come in a day. Rome was not built in a day. That is developed direct company of the Master or indirect when you feel receptive to even a thousand somebody. This is the way how to develop it. And time will come when you say who is this man? Who is living in this body? Am I? You'll forget. You'll see your Master there. Even your hands will hold that is Master's hands, not yours. This is the ultimate goal, you see. Love is the ultimate fruit and the goal. That is why I said God is love and love is God. We have not gone into the depths. I mean, what is love? We speak of love. Everybody has to speak of love. He knows he has got love for the Master, for God, etc. But where you stand, actually? One may say, I love God and just hates his brothers. I think Christ said once, yes, if you hate your brother, do not love your brothers, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? Though you see, you have no love for him, you don't love him. How can you have love for him for whom you have not seen, you see? You follow my point? This to be watched. Man can self-interest, see where I stand. I know what is making for my own self after this life. Everybody knows. He simply, he taps inside. He unravels himself like a strict judge where we stand. Can we boldly say, I love my Master, love my God? So if this is done, this, I give peace everywhere, at homes, in societies, in countries, in all the world over. But this love knows. There are different aspects I'm talking of. Yesterday another aspect, day before another aspect, today is another aspect. So from today you should judge where you stand. Are you really loving God? Are you really on the way to love God? I was not really loving God. Even if you are on the way leading to love, then it's all right. That you can judge better in your actions, not talk. As I told you, that starts only from the ABC, starts from keeping his commandments. When you love him, those who go to him, naturally love for them. You see? When you have more love for your master, or even the dog going there, you must lick their feet. These are the symbols, you see, symptoms to show that you are beginning to love God or Master, or what is love. You see? So first of all, it coincides with keeping commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And those you who come here, don't be, I mean, really, your love lies in the fact you must be of service to others. You see, those who hate love God and hate brothers and other creation, how can you love God? You see, it is only mere talk, lip talk. Go into the depths, find out where you stand, you see. तो मैं ये कह रहा था आप भाई बहनों ने समझा भाई प्रेम किसको कहते हैं कहां से शुरू होता है अभी प्रेम नहीं बना प्रेम तब हो जो दिल साबत हो तो किसी को दे वो तो सवाल नहीं अभी कि अपने इख्तियार में नहीं जिसे कहां से शुरू होता है पहले कहना मान दे उसका कहना मान अब तो उसके इशारे पर चलो न भी कहे उसके इशारे पर चलो एक पिता अपने बच्चों को क्या चाहता है कि वो प्यार से रहे फादर विशेज ऑल चिल्ड्रन बी ऑल लिविंग एमिकेबली लविंग ईच अदर सैक्रिफाइसिंग वन सेल्फ फॉर देम सेल्फ फॉर देम दिस इज फर्स्ट थिंग टू शो इवन दो हू कम वेदर दे आर द डिसिपल्स आर नॉट इवन दे लव देम टू So this is how this is the beginning of growing into love, I would say. That's a much better word, you see. So my prems sikhata kena manna. Kena manna. Aaj se manna. Sunte rahe na. Baatein sunte rahe se kaam nahi banayi. It cannot be said that you've got so much information in your brain that won't help you. unless you put into practice, you live up. दूसरा जीवन साफ रखो, भजन रोज करो, जो वहां ने गरीबों समझो, जो काम करना है वो ये गरीबों समझे कि परमात्मा ने तुमको चुना उस काम के लिए. यू आर द चोजन फ्यू हु हैव बीन सिलेक्टेड फॉर टू सर्व द मास्टर डायरेक्टर. यू सी, आपको तो प्यार होना चाहिए. प्यार किस बात में है? एक ही काम के लिए काम कर रहे हो ना, प्यार से करो. अगर कोई एक दूसरे को तो प्यार से समझा सको. संस्कृत भी जाती है, निम्रता है, प्यार वही लफ्ज हो, वो वहीं बन जाता. आसमानों पर तो होगा, देयर मे बी हेवन ऑन ओर एनीवेयर एल्स, बट यू कैन नॉट क्रिएट हेवन हियर बाय लिविंग हम्बली, सिंपली, लविंगली, यू सी, एट द फीट ऑफ द मास्टर. कबीर वंस सेड, यू सी, ही सेड, आई वेंट टू द हाउस ऑफ माय फादर, यू सी, वेंट देयर and found father was not there. And when he came to know where he is, he is living in the saints on the earth, going in their feet. You see? So you can create heaven on earth, you see. Let thy kingdom come on earth. What is meant by that? You see? That can come only if you live up that way. Now decide by comparing it. Go into your hearts where you stand. Boasting won't do. Live. Prove by your action. सत्संग में आने का मतलब यही खाली पढ़ छोड़ना काफी नहीं. ये बातें ज्यादा एक्सप्लेन करनी पड़ती है. ये तो किताबों में है, रेफरेंस आर देयर इन द बुक, बट नॉट सो क्लैरिफाइड पोजिशन विच यू हैव नाउ. And more of this you cannot put in details in the books too. Many things are wrought by attention. The very attention words given with attention, you see, that go to the heart. So, excuse me if I say dead books won't help you. You see, living book will help you. And Master is a living book, you see. That's all. भाई साहब जो सुनते हो उसको मन फिर लिव करो, फिर जो सो जन उनके पाँव चुमो. वही मुझे समझा आपको ये सेवा दी गई मिलकर. यूर ऑल इन बॉडी, दोज हैव बीन चोजन फ्यू फॉर दैट, व्हाई नॉट ऑल द वर्ल्ड ओवर. दोज हैव बीन चोजन, दे आर फॉर्चुनेट, दे शुड वर्दी, प्रूव वर्दी ऑफ दिस बीइंग चोजन. यू सी, जो चुने गया उनको उस बात को साबित करना चाहिए कि वो बड़े भाग्यशाली हैं, तो वो चुने इतने काम के लिए. वी आर ऑल वर्किंग फॉर वन कॉमन कॉज, एंड दैट कॉमन कॉज ऑफ गॉड, नॉट ऑफ एनी सोसाइटी और एनी कंट्री. यही बातें समझने वाली. और जितना अपने जीवन में तुम उसको लाओगे उतना सुख हो जाए. You won't, whereas this heaven ko chhod kar, you won't like to leave the heaven at the feet of the master and go to another heaven in, above, you see. So God desires in the company of the saints. You see that? Bahut achha tha. Aapne samjha baat bhai. Phir samjhane ki zarurat na rahe. Republic, you see, Republic government. Today is the day of independence, which is being celebrated by your good gay and ancestor, you see. So, Republic means government of the people, by the people, for the good of the people. That's the true sense of the word. This day has we have seen, fortunately, but really, this state has not come in, practically. The old system, old setup is there. Men have been dubbed in, excuse me if I say so. But unless they become independent of all self-interest, Only they can, I think, work for the independence of man. Man is one who lives for the good of the others, with no self-interest, or maximum good he can give to the public at large. So unless a man is like that, how can that true independence come? So this independence should start from self. Are we independent? First of all, no. We are bound by mind. Mind is dragged in by outgoing faculties, and out faculties are drawn by the outward enjoyments. For self interest, self enjoyment. How can such a man can think of the independence of others? Excuse me. If such like people gather together who have got freedom, independence from outward thraldom, I would say. Only such people can think of how independence can come up. So I was just at many occasions to talk on the same platform as Shastri Prime Minister tendered you to give talk. Even now I am invited. I give talks over there. So Shastri and other people used to say, had there been Gandhi here, what you would have done in this matter? So I would give him my talks always. Well, now you need the guidance of some future man. What to do? What way out? Who can think that? Who himself is not bound by any self-interest? Only such people can think of the good of the people at large, you see. So I was giving an instance of the 10th Guru, of the 6, you see. For guidance, he said, your scriptures are there. Past masters speaking through books. To understand those scriptures, you need somebody who got that very independence. They have known themselves by extricating themselves from the bondage of mind, matter, and outward faculties. They are really, in two senses, world free. They are saying what they said. That is a guiding principle. And now we need somebody who can give us the right interpretation of those scriptures. How can he give if he is still under the thraldom or the bondage of outgoing faculty? We are dragged like anything, you see. Our soul is just under control of mind, and mind is controlled by outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are drawn irresistibly by the outward enjoyments, you see. So the self-independence or freedom starts from the self. Though they have freed themselves from all these outward attachments, self-interest, you might say, in one word, only such a man can think of giving freedom to others, equal rights to others. So I was just thinking of 10th Guru of the 6. He said, for guidance, you've got all these scriptures, past ones speaking through books. But unless such people meet us who have got that freedom, they cannot give you the right interpretation of the master what they spoke. The fine record of which are with us in the form of the scriptures. And also, they are free. Those who are free, only they can understand the true import of the master what they said in the past. So, there is guidance that you can have freedom of self first. When such people gather together, they can truly think of the independence of others. You see? So I told you that this independence starts from our own independence by the mind and outward faculty. If such people sit together, they can think of the good of all the world over. So what he set up, you see, as I told you, he said, for guidance are there the scriptures before you, but to understand those scriptures in the right. In the true sense, you need somebody who has got that freedom. If such a people gather together, they can think well of the good of all of us, of freedom of all of us. So his set of teachings, one, independence of soul from mind and matter, just enable the soul to withdraw from outside, from outward attachments and draggings, I would say, by the enjoyments of the outer things. He can think of himself free. Who can give you this freedom? It is the Master and the Guru.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Joanna Swanson. Are you there, Joanna?
I'm all ready, John.
Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. As many of you know, I've been reading from Master's two books, The Wheel of Life and The Mystery of Death, which has been published as one volume. Last time I read, we started The Mystery of Death with the introduction. We will now begin Chapter 1, Nothing Dies in Nature. Death and deathlessness, both inhere in the nature of all that is, all that combines in itself both matter and spirit. Matter is but a projecting screen for the spirit, the all-pervading spirit that attracts matter in varying degrees of densities and vibrations in order to manifest itself in various patterns of forms and colors at different levels of existence. Spirit by itself, without the material mantle to manifest itself on the earth plane, is void. For spirit, without the covering of matter, cannot be seen with the eyes of flesh, just as the power of springtime makes itself felt only when it acts on flowers and fruits, making them bloom and blossom with juicy fragrance and luscious flavor. Man represents in him the doctrine of the Trinity on earth, as he combines in himself body, mind, and soul, the last being of the essence of God, the life breath enlivening both the body and the mind, making one a living man with the breath of God surging in him from top to toe. The human body is individualized matter, inasmuch as the spirit enshrouded therein seems to be an individualized spirit, like the same sun reflected in so many water pots. At death, the body, composed as it is of different elements, dissolves and returns to the cosmic reservoir of substances, ultimately merging in one primal substance, and the soul returns to God. Master quotes from Ecclesiastes, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." A living man is not something independent of and apart from the supreme power that flows in him. He is a product of the supreme power, acting on the material plane through an organized body of waves, which produce a state of consciousness in him. Man exists when the supreme power runs in and through his bodily mold, but when that power withdraws unto itself, man is no more a living entity, for all functional activity in him ceases, and what remains? Nothing but a mass of inert matter, the same as before in shape and substance, but without the living life impulse that was pulsating in him moments before. Like man, the entire universe is a manifestation of the one life principle, the principle of living consciousness in varying degrees, right from the logos down to the atoms of the material elements, perpetually moving in rhythmic motion, forming and reforming in quick succession many patterns by the supreme power acting in and upon them. In short, the intelligence of the universe abides and abides forever and anon in the heart of each atom, which is dancing to its tune. Like the eternal dance of Shiva, the living embodiment of Shakti, the mother of the universe. In the esoteric cosmogony, the theory of dead matter does not find any place whatsoever, for matter cannot exist by itself without the cohesive power inherent therein. Matter, in fact, is energy in congealed form. In ancient philosophy, a sharp distinction was drawn between being and existence. The logos, the archetypal world, is that of true being, changeless and eternal, while existence is an expression and expansion, or moving forward and outward into the world of becoming, a world of ceaseless change and transformation from moment to moment. Physiologists and physicians like botanists, horticulturists, and floriculturists tell us a lot about the mechanical and chemical processes going on in the human metabolism, or in fact in any living organism, be it a tree, a flower, a fruit, an ant, or an elephant, but they cannot tell us why they live, how they live, what for they live, what is life itself, and above all, what is consciousness that characterizes the life impulse on any and every plane of existence. The cosmic cycle proves that life is eternal. Life is an endless process. It continues on and on, assuming one form after another in an endless series, appearing, disappearing, and reappearing, like waves and bubbles in the stream of time, time rolling down from eternity to eternity. Nature is but one vast reservoir of life and matter in which nothing is lost and nothing dies. No matter how forms may change and change kaleidoscopically in less than the twinkling of an eye, it is this changing process that is commonly called death, death of one form at one place and simultaneous birth in another form at another place or on another plane. Invisible vapor arising from the sea dies so as to change into visible solid snow on the mountaintop. And the visible snow, in its turn, taking once again the reverse process, the process of death, melts into liquid water, and the water changes back into the invisible aerial form or vapor again, making a continuous chain of cause and effect. Similarly, man becomes a visible entity when his spirit puts on a human form, and then in the course of time, that very man of so many roles on the stage of life, at once son, brother, husband, father, now an infant, then a young man, and lastly a dotard, ultimately becomes invisible when the spirit in him withdraws, causing, to the consternation of those around him, a void in the vast web of relationships that he wove around him during his existence on the earth plane. This is what actually happens at the time of final change, when the physical body disintegrates and resolves into the cosmic order of things, and the life currents merge into the great cosmic life principle, which is vitally organic in nature and not chemically inorganic and mechanical. Death is not what it seems to be and what it is taken for in common parlance. Death and life are correlative terms on the earth plane only, but in reality, there is no difference between the two. And in fact, one cannot be contradistinguished from the other, for death cannot swallow life, nor can death put an end to life. It is just an interchangeable process, like the two sides of a coin rotating on its axis. Do we not see day and night, light and darkness, alternately coming and going, as the rotating earth spins and revolves around the sun, which is casting shadows of varying lengths at different places, while the sun itself continues to shine all the time? Death does not mean total extinction or annihilation, as at times it is believed to be. Death is nothing but a change of consciousness from one place of existence to another place of existence. Life, on the contrary, is one continuous process which knows no end, for the so-called death that follows life is not lifelessness, but life in another form, at another place, here on earth or elsewhere, and in a different form with a different name and under a different set of circumstances, as is adjudged by divine dispensation, Dara Maharaj, working according to the inexorable law of action or karma. He quotes from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Life, being a positive expression of the Supreme Being, is not subject to the negativity of death, and the latter cannot therefore extinguish the former, the eternal flame of life. We have the testimony of an unbroken line of masters who taught that life and death are mere words in the world of duality, meant to describe the surface effect or the circumferential shifting of the state of consciousness of the inner being dwelling at the center. These are merely visible and invisible stages in the cosmic cycle through which the inner man passes. The lamentable, horrifying, and much dreaded death is, in reality, a rebirth, being born again of the inner man into a life which may be more joyous and more beautiful than known hitherto. Death, the awe-inspiring and heart-rending death, says Kabir, is to me a harbinger of joyous life, and I welcome it fully. The Gospels also tell of the kingdom of God that awaits one beyond the death door. Quote from St. John, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water, amniotic fluid, and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit." Thus, with each successive death or dissolution of form, the spirit, freed from the solid mold, renews from strength to strength and from power to power, growing in greater and wider consciousness than ever before. In this context, Maulana Rumi tells us, I died as mineral and became a plant. I died as plant and rose to animal. I died as animal and I was man. Why should I fear? When was I less by dying? Yet once more I shall die as man, to soar with angels blessed. But even from angelhood I must pass on. All except God doth perish. When I have sacrificed my angel soul, I shall become what no mind e'er conceived. Oh, let me not exist, for non-existence proclaims in organ tones, to him we shall return. Death, then, is another name for a change in the central life principle, the pivot around which the organized life monad moves and functions. Death is a change from one set of circumstances to another set of circumstances, in different forms and under different conditions, as are most suited to the ultimate unfoldment into full efflorescence of the self or the living monad, leading to greater and greater awareness of and arising into the higher spiritual values of life. And Master quotes from St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not sleep in death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, raised incorruptible, putting on incorruption and immortality, swallowing death in victory, defying the sting of death and the fear of grace. In Man the Unknown, Alexis Carroll says, Man is made up of a procession of phantoms, in the midst of which strides the unknowable reality. Nanak likewise speaks of himself in much the same strain by saying, In the midst of the outer physical mold called Nanak plays the invisible power of the Supreme Being. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of the Adorable One, Lord Krishna, the seventh avatar of Vishnu, one of the famous triad in the Hindu mythology, tells us thus, Know thou, O Prince of Pandu, that there was never a time when I, nor thou, nor any of these princes of earth was not. Nor shall there ever come a time hereafter when any of us shall cease to be. As the soul, wearing this material body, experiences the stages of infancy, youth, manhood, and old age, even so shall it in due course of time pass on to another body, and in other incarnations shall it again live and move and play its part. Those who have attained the wisdom of the inner doctrine know these things, and fail to be moved by aught that cometh to pass in this world of change. To such, life and death are but words, and both are but surface aspects of the deeper being within. Thus, it is clear that under the cosmic cycle law, all things move in a circle and all things are eternal. The dance of Shiva, at once the god of death, and death leading to rebirth not unoften at a higher level of existence, goes on forever and forever. Under this ever-revolving wheel of life, man, by a process of evolution and growth, keeps changing from a mere physical form to an astral form, then to a causal form, and finally to a spiritual being on the various planes of existence until he rightly comes to his own, knows and realizes the ever-evolving principle of consciousness in him in its fullness, which he potentially is, and embraces the totality of his being. Master quotes from the Acts, All the same, we live, move, and have our individual being in God, the universal being, for we are his offspring, and he is the very being of our being, and without his power working in us, we cannot exist and function. Like begets like. Each thing, be it a plant, an animal, or a man, grows from the seed after its own kind, though according to a set pattern of life determined by the quality inherent in the seed. God giveth it, the seed, a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. From St. Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians. Master continues. Man, at the highest rung in the ladder of life on earth, is not fragmented from his Maker. The Father is in the Son in a potential form, and the Son is firmly rooted in the Father, though he may, circumstance as he is, not know the true situation, owing to the limitations of the fleshly raiments in which he lives all the time while functioning on the earth plane. Because of the power of God working in him, he verily but unwittingly lives in the temple of God. And Master quotes from St. Paul's letter, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and therefore is you?" The term man is merely a name implied to the incarnated Spirit of God on the earth plane. This, then, is the famous doctrine of the Holy Trinity, a whole consisting of three parts. Number one, the Father, the universal Spirit. Number two, the Son, individualized Spirit clothed in body, mind, and intellect. Number three, the Holy Ghost, or the saving links or lifelines between the two, by following which the human spirit transhumanizes the human trappings, all combined in man. Hence, the exhortation of the prophet of Galilee from St. Matthew, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Perfection comes from the perfect one. Perfection, then, is the goal of human life, which consists in self-unfoldment or evolution of the individual spirit by transcending the limitations of body, mind, and intellect, and by tapping the deep-rooted latencies in the depths of the great sea of unconsciousness, yet unexplored and unknown. It is indeed a difficult task, but not impossible to achieve, if one is lucky enough to contact a master soul, well versed both in the science and art of paravidya, or the knowledge of the worlds that are heavenly and lie beyond the senses, which senses help us only in the realm of apravidya, or the knowledge of the empirical world of outer observation and experimentation. And Master quotes from St. Luke, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, look here or look there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is not to descend from the clouds above. It is already there in man, and one can witness its glory by the process of inversion of the attention, which is akin to death, a voluntary process, of course, while living, as was taught by the masters to their chosen disciples from times immemorial. What a man has done, man can do if there is proper help and guidance from some God-man. Every saint had a past, and every sinner has a future. That is the end of chapter one. And since there is not a great deal of time left, we'll save chapter two for next time. Thank you, Master, for allowing us this time with you and to have your word read in all its beauty. Amen.
A wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 69 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. Thank you, Master, for providing this satsang to us. Now please hang up your phone.